Thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History Syndicated newspaper column. You'll find the full details at offbeatoregon.com. Check it out. But first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of Central Oregon's Crystal Cave, which, when I wrote this story, I thought was not real. I no longer think that is true. The story was first published on March 28, 2010, under the headline, Central Oregon's Legendary Crystal Cave. Is it real? Here we go. Somewhere in the high desert of South Central Oregon, there may or may not be a massive cave lined with big quartz crystals worth millions of dollars. People have been hunting for it for more than 100 years now, but they may have been looking in the wrong place, or maybe chasing a will-o'-the-wisp. The story of the Crystal Cave is one of those tales that can safely be called a legend. The fact is, after passing through the hands of a half dozen authors, several of whom seem to have added little touches such as made-up dialogue to increase its appeal, it's hard to know exactly what part of it is real. Here's this basic story. Sometime between 1896 and 1904, a group of cowboys stopped to camp for the night somewhere between Burns and Lapine and stumbled onto the entrance of the cave. After collecting a few samples, they continued to Bend, where they started telling people about what they'd found. This is where the stories diverge. One version, given a boost in a 1946 article by Phil Brogan in the Portland Oregonian, says the cowboy story came to the attention of a shopkeeper named Nick Smith, who went out to follow the trail of the cattle drive. In this version of the story, the cowboys were on a cattle drive. Smith found the cave, Brogan reported, but was forced to head back for home when the weather turned ugly. He went back the following spring, but over the winter the landscape had changed enough to foil his effort, and he spent the following 20 years trying to get back to the cave. This account does raise some questions. First, why would a man on a horse, a day's ride from the nearest town, leave the shelter of a cave when a snowstorm threatened? And second, how likely is it that he and all those cowboys would, every single one of them, be unable to identify an approximate location, accurate to a square mile or so? The weather might change the landscape over a harsh winter, but trees and mountains and rocky outcroppings, those things don't generally move around. The other account is also problematic. It's from the son-in-law of Newt Cobb, one of the cowboys who found the cave. Cobb said he and his colleagues were shearing sheep, not driving cattle, and were traveling between Milliken and what's now Sun River. The story doesn't mention Smith, who presumably became interested in the story later. Well, now, the problem with this account is geological. The terrain between Milliken and Sun River is simply not old enough to have grown crystals like the sample bits the cowboys brought back from the cave. So either the samples are fake or the story is inaccurate, in its geology if nothing else. The mystery may eventually solve itself, though. As Melanie Tupper points out, when the weather changes, cave entrances often give off visible plumes of condensation, so it's not unlikely that someone will see such a plume and follow it back to the entrance. Of course, it's also not impossible that that entrance has somehow been closed off by an earthquake or an eroding rock and will just never be found. In the end, what we're left with is another delicious Oregon mystery like the Lost Blue Bucket Mine or the location of Sir Francis Drake's Nova Albion. Someday maybe we'll swap that mystery for a chance to see the real Crystal Cave after somebody finds it. But you have to wonder, would that really be a good trade? By the way, there's an excellent analysis of the conflicting Crystal Cave stories in Tupper's book, which in any case should be required reading for anyone interested in South Central Oregon history. There's an afterword here. After this article was published in the Redmond Spokesman, I got a phone call from a gentleman from Pendleton who sounded about 40 years older than me. He quizzed me pretty closely about what I knew about the Crystal Cave and where I thought it was. Then, with a little chuckle, he told me the cave was nowhere near the places this article talks about. In fact, it's not south of Bend. It's northeast, about 150 miles out of town. Well, I could tell by this time that if I asked him where it was, my answer would be a good-natured chuckle and nothing more, but I tried it anyway in a sort of oblique way, and he told me quite clearly that he was not going to spill the beans. The gentleman said that he has actually been there, and he did not sound like the kind of fellow who's got nothing better to do than make long-distance phone calls to lie to guys like me, so I believe him. So, Well, if you're thinking it might be a myth, I'm pretty sure you're wrong about that. That's all I've got for you today. If you're listening for the first time and want some more information about offbeat organ history, you can get everything at our central website at offbeatorgan.com, which includes a complete listing of about 195 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes and the Facebook page and Twitter feed, too, in case you'd like to join the conversation online. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story, which in today's episode include works by Melanie Tupper and Patty D. Wood. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. Coming to Corvallis, drop me a line and let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. I am proud to present this column under a Creative Commons license, specifically Attribution Share Alike. For details of what that means, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. That's it for today. In coming attractions, our next episode will be the Thursday special, in which I'm going to queue up a surprise episode of Offbeat Oregon History, just to even up the figures, probably one from calendar year 2009. Look for it after about 6 a.m. tomorrow morning, and in the meantime, go fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.